Blog Talk Radio.
In a world where everyone is a social media guru, there is one lodestone, one brightest point in the sky, one true north. We have no idea where that is, but we've been here every Tuesday since August 2008, bringing you the absolute best and brightest guests from the world of social media and internet marketing. Welcome to Social Media Edge Radio. And now it's time to get this show on the commode. Here's your host, Ken Cook, and co-host Mike Mueller.
Yes, he is. We're actually both co-hosts. Good morning, Mike Mueller.
Good. Well, that now all of a sudden you just ruined our evergreen thing, but okay. Good morning.
Oh, I did. Well, let me double ruin it.
And there's the famous sip of coffee. And here comes the sip of green tea.
The ubiquitous morning sips. Welcome to Social Media Edge Radio. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener, we don't have old listeners. We're all young and spry. But we talk about things that are relative to marketing online, building your website, getting the word out. We talk about technical things. We talk about marketing. We talk about, man, Mike, sometimes it even gets a little psychological about the things that we say online and how we respond. One of my favorite shows from a recent year was how do we respond when we mess up? You remember that show, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, folks should go back and check that out. If you have missed the previous episodes, because this is our ninth year, this is season 9, episode 2. Mike, where do they find the old shows?
Well, I'm going to say it really, because I'm seeing them go everywhere. So you can, if you subscribe to the show, you can go over to iTunes. You can find all of them over there. You can go to, I've been getting a bunch of people who have been listening on FM. Not FM, the radio station, but FM, the channel. And apparently we are put over there too. But maybe the easiest way is go over to Social Media Edge or even Blog Talk Radio. But I'm going to say socialmediaedge.com.
Yeah, it's a great place to go. Occasionally, we even update that website. You know, Mike, it's interesting. This is our ninth season, and the tech team just now launched our Twitter.
Really, we have a Twitter account, but Twitter's dead, though.
We do. Interestingly enough, we've been using our personal accounts all these years. But we're now on Twitter at SME Radio. So twitter.com/SME Radio. Jump over there. Follow us.
I'm going over there right now.
As they would say. Now, Mike, we talk a lot about things that are critical to marketing. But we also talk a lot about technical things. And you know, my favorite days are when we bring both of those together. How about you?
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a follow-up from last week's show. We started talking about the sales cycle, and Mike immediately thought of a great guest, and he's going to be joining us a little bit later today. And thank you, Mike, for pulling that together. There are a couple of things we need to get out of the way first. I love this. It probably doesn't get any funnier than news, right? Okay, yeah, back to things as they were. A couple of things from the news. Number one, we were talking about this in the green room just before the show came on. One of Mike's favorite things is video, and we talk a lot about video on the show. And Facebook is one of the biggest providers of video, although we've got a little statistic coming up later in the news. Facebook has decided, Mike, at least to try, inserting ads into publishers' videos at the 20-second mark.
Well,
you're
okay.
Excited about that.
Yeah. Okay, Facebook makes money by selling ads. I get that. And Facebook wants, I mean, the first they started with images and they really wanted, I mean, it used to be Facebook didn't have images. Way back when, they didn't have images.
They did not.
And then they added videos, and then they decided to go after the video market and really changed how, you know, how all of us deal with videos and things like that. And including, I mean, at one point, they were actually turning off YouTube videos and making them a separate link so they didn't show up in stream, trying to get people to force more videos on the platform. And you know what? That's all great. But I don't, you know, I'm just not a big fan of ads in my videos. And yes, happens over YouTube all the time. They're little pop-up ads, little things down at the bottom, or they're ads that happen in the beginning. But, you know, could it drive people away from putting videos up on the stream?
Well, you know, one thing I have not seen yet, Mike, is how long these video inserts are going to be, or these ad inserts. Have you seen any stats on the length of them? I mean, are they going to be 30-second ad spots stuck in at the 20-second mark?
No, and, you know, we don't know, and I have not seen. I saw the announcement as far as that goes, and I cringed immediately. That was my and yes, I love marketing, and I love – and we could talk all about YouTube marketing and things like that too as well. But no, you know, are they going to be like YouTube, you know, where it's got a little ad, little banner ad down at the bottom? So YouTube does in-stream ads all the time, and they'll do a little banner at the bottom. Could it be something like that, or is it going to completely disrupt the video, take over the video for 10, 15 seconds? 30 seconds would kill everything, I think.
Yeah,
and,
I want to see.
You know,
I want to see a demo. I want to see what's coming up on that.
Yeah.
See if you can talk to the folks there at Facebook and make that happen, Mr. Mueller.
Facebook
is also in negotiations with some larger producers, some publishers, some we'll call them grassroots network, I guess, because it's not your typical network stuff for providing sports shows, game shows, content created by professionals. I don't have a problem with popping an ad in that, do you?
Not at all. And, you know, really going, watching, and I'm a big fan of, because it happens in our household all the time. We're watching movies. We're watching sports. We're watching, you know, typically we don't watch game shows. But going over to and watching that at the same time, having your other screen open, which is probably your cell phone, and getting additional content from that. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we switch over and I'm watching a sporting event or what have you, and the wife pulls out her phone and looks up a player's stats or what have you. That's phenomenal. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I don't have a problem with that. Hey, Mike, do you WhatsApp?
I don't app.
Yeah.
I should. But I don't.
I have it on another one of my phones. And interestingly enough, when I logged in, I saw that several of my or a few of my neighbors were on there. And I just started texting them through there. And they're all like, well, yeah, we have this for, you know, thing. So we have a little neighborhood group on WhatsApp. But that's the only thing I've ever used it for. So this stat kind of blew me away. WhatsApp, over the 24-hour period that is New Year's Eve, the user sent over 63 billion messages. 63 billion, Mike.
Wow. That's a lot of – well, that's and really, that is a huge amount. As far as that goes, but you got to figure New Year's Eve is going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said huge, not huge, by the way. 8 billion of those messages were images. And 2.4 billion, Mike, 2.4 billion WhatsApp videos on New Year's Eve.
Amazing.
Yeah. Video, man, it's just, it's where it is. Hey, did you hear that Zuckerberg might be eyeing up the political spectrum?
I don't. Yes, I did hear.
Interesting. Very interesting. If you want to learn more about that, just Google it. There's a story over on Forbes that came out last night. Really just asks if Zuckerberg is considering planning a run for office. But he has certainly done some legal things, some legal, not wrangling so much, but a strategy to make sure that he can run for office and hold office and still be the big wig at Facebook. Very interesting.
Really?
Very interesting. This next one, I don't even really know why it's news, except for it was just probably a really bad faux pas, Mike. Have you ever posted something to Twitter or Facebook and looked back at it and said, oh, I misspelled that word?
Yes, I do. I do it all the time.
Yes, I do too. On Twitter, you kind of stuck with it. On Facebook, you can go back in and edit it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say what happened. I'm just going to say that Yahoo Finance posted a story that said something about the new president wanting a bigger Navy, only they misspelled bigger.
It
was a racial slur. Of course it was accidental. I'm sure Yahoo did not do that.
It totally was accidental. I got to ask you. Here's my first response when I see things like this, and I got to ask you if you do the same thing. I know how to type without looking at the keyboard, but when I see a typo like that, the first thing I do is I look down at the keyboard and see how far away the mistyped letter is to the letter that they meant to hit. Do you do that?
Yes, I do. And how far away was that letter, Mike?
Right next to it.
It was. So they left it up for about an hour, and it got several actually very humorous responses from some people that could have been highly offended by it. Just you let that be a reminder before you click post or before you click schedule. Go ahead and take a quick reread. quick reread over that.
Before we go too far, I have to say, reading the – actually, if you go over to Blog Talk Radio and look at the actual promo for the words for our show today, it says, Mike knew right where to go for a great follow-up, so he invited Chris Dreher to reevaluate. Guess what? Mike knew is N-E-W. Just wanted to point that out. Hey, it happens.
It happens. It happens all the time. And yeah, I love it when people point it out. A lot of times they'll be a little timid about it, and they'll say, I don't want to upset you, but on such and such, on paragraph so and so, you use the word, N-O-W instead of K-N-O-W. Hope you don't mind me letting you know. No, I don't. In fact, I would pay you because that's a fee for service. We have a new segment that we've started doing this year, and those are our tools segment. We don't really have a – let's see if this works. There we go, tool segment. So we're going to present every week one of our tools. And this week, Mike, what do you have? What's your tool?
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to pick on me first. But, because I'm going to run out of tools, I'm guessing. But I thought of a great one this week because I had a client who was looking to start a new website. And she wanted to know, what should I put? What's my domain name? What do I want to do? And she started looking for things that were available or not available. You know, what were the possibilities? Well, I have a great tool for you, and it's Domainer. And I got to spell it because, guess what? It's the internet. We don't spell anything correctly. So it's D-O-M, AIN and just the letter R.com. And that'll get you.
And if you were in the chat room, you could just click on that because I just posted it in the chat room. But you're not in the chat room. Okay.
That's right.
What does it do?
So
walk us through it.
You can put in any sort of keywords, and like you put in I'll put in keyword. And what it will do is it'll start coming up and it'll look very quickly for all the quick possible words that keyword might fit into a domain name. So .com, .net, .org, that kind of thing. But it tells you whether or not they're taken. It'll tell you whether or not they are available, if they're up for sale, which basically I'm going to say is usually taken unless you've got a big budget. But it'll tell you a bunch of different ideas. And then you can even go a little bit farther and start adding other keywords. And, you know, it'll kind of create a bunch of different ideas for you.
You know, one of the first things that I noticed when I used the tool is there are a lot of top-level domain name extensions, the, you know, .com, .net, .whatever, that I didn't even know existed. .link, I didn't know that existed, .site, .click.
Yeah.
We could do a whole show just on that. And, you know, Mike, that used to be a big deal. It used to be that you just had to have .com because everybody automatically assumed .com. But in today's advanced world of search, it's less and less critical to have a .com.
I agree. As far as, especially if you're going for, if you're, well, if you're running, depend, and here we're going into our show. If your funnels, we were talking about sales funnels, if some of them are SEO, then people are going to find using keywords in Google, and they're going to be driven to your site. If you're doing Facebook advertising, if that's your funnel, they're going to be driven to your site without typing it in. If your website is much more of a, let's say, a brochure, and your marketing materials are all print or what have you, you're relying on people who type in or remember, hey, it's areweconnected.com. And
exactly.
Something like that, then you are reliant on the .com.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to be very quick with mine because we've got a great guest that's just kind of waiting around. And everybody knows I'm a big Twitter guy. I love Twitter. I've never stopped loving Twitter. It's morphed over the years. It's not quite as in some ways, it's every bit as engaging as it used to be. In other ways, it is a little bit less so, but I have a tool that I use, and it's crowdfireapp.com. It's the Crowdfire app, and something that it really helps me do is stay on top of new followers. When people follow me, I can go to crowdfireapp.com, sync it with my Twitter account, and they do Instagram also, and I can find who followed me in the just really recent, like I'm looking at it right now, someone followed me an hour ago that I have not returned followed. It gives me their profile picture, their link and all that stuff. And I can follow them right there from Crowdfire. Another thing that it does is it helps me dig out those people who follow a bunch of people. And then once you follow them, they unfollow all those people.
Yep.
And it lets me unfollow them, right? Straight through there. An interesting trend that I want to talk about, but not today, is a lot of accounts, there's a trend. Somebody out there is teaching people who are trying to build a Twitter following that you should not follow anyone, that you should follow people, get them to follow you, and then unfollow. So you'll see people that have like 4 or 5,000 people following them, and they're following zero. And these are not celebrities. They're not authors. They're just normal, everyday people like Mike.
Wow.
Hey, we're going to take a really quick break, and as soon as we come back, we're going to be joined. Who's joining us, Mike?
Chris Dreher.
Of Revaluate.
Revaluate.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll be right back.
Frustrated with your website? Can't get it to look right or work right? Think it's too expensive to hire a real development company to quickly turn things around? Think again. For as little as $35, Ken Cook will investigate and often correct issues with your website. With over 20 years of web coding experience, he'll quickly identify your challenges and help keep the costs and time to a minimum. Many jobs can be completed the same day. Regardless of where your site is hosted, what platform it's developed on, or what framework is used, contact Ken today at thekencook.com. And instead of working for your website, make it work for you.
Hey, this is Mike Mueller, and in case you didn't know, when I'm not co-hosting the show, I'm busy building websites for small businesses just like yours. But you know what? I do it a little differently than most web developers. First of all, I don't farm anything out. And secondly, I build what you want, not what I think you should have. And I don't just build a website, I don't just throw a template at it and call it a day. I ask you some very specific questions about your business and the goals of the website, and then I build a unique system that fits your needs. And that's something no other web developer does. Check out areweconnected.com/smedge for more details and a special bonus just for you, our listeners.
areweconnected.com/smedge. Social Media Edge Radio. Welcome back. Mike, I'm going to let you have the podium, sir. All yours.
Wow. Okay, so let me start off by saying, last show we were talking about, we were talking about sales funnels, and that kind of led into the sales cycle. And during the middle of the show, I'm getting this idea, you know who we really should have on? Probably one of the smartest people I know when it comes to sales cycles, things like that. And we could get into big data, but I just have to say, totally in awe every time. Just one of the nicest guys I know, Chris Dreher, and Revaluate is his product. And what if you're not familiar with it, and I'm going to say you're not familiar with it because you probably remember way back in the day when you first heard of it, and it would tell you whether your neighbors were noisy people. So you can put in an address in it and say, hey, your neighbors are pretty noisy kind of thing. And Chris, if I'm wrong, you can hit me on that. But I'm not going to really get into what it does now or what they're working on now, but I just want to welcome Chris to the show because, hey, welcome, Chris.
Man, thanks so much, Ken and Mike. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here. Man, Mike, you and I have known each other for, I think, before the Social Media Edge show began, so over 10 years, so. And I've listened on and off through the years, and I'm just so glad that you guys keep it up, and this is really a benefit to society.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
We're sending the check now.
Excellent.
So, given that, we got to start the show with, what are you guys working on now? What's the new thing? Because I've gotten an inside little thing. Tell me what you're working on now. Tell them.
Well, I can drop some buzzwords. We're big on fun stuff like machine learning and the big data that you referenced before, and we're really focused on helping agents understand who in their contacts are most likely to move in the next 3 to 6 months. And there's lots of different ways to try and figure that out. But it boils down to let's help people be more efficient, people in this case being real estate agents.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep the, you know, being a consumer and someone that is not a real estate agent and someone that buys and sells houses every now and then, I really don't find it beneficial when a real estate agent calls me when I'm not ready to buy or sell,
right,
or when I get junk mail from them. And so there's some efficiencies that I think that we can improve on in the industry. And that's kind of our goal at Revaluate, is let's see if we can improve the way we do business and the way real estate is transacted. And let's leverage data and technology to do so.
Yeah, and the agent's time and energy.
You're
saving, I mean, your product is going to save just copious amounts of time and energy.
That's the goal, yeah.
So you know, as far as that goes, I want to talk about the sales cycle in real estate. So, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to say I am not typical. I, as far as that goes, I bought a house 15 years ago. I'm probably not going to move in the next 15 years. I'm not the typical, but given that, I see and I get all sort. I get people knocking on my door. I get people, you know, I get all the mailers. I love New Year's because I get 15 different calendars to put on my refrigerator.
Are they all for the same year?
And mostly they're all for the same year. And yeah. I'm going to say, because I'm San Francisco Bay Area, most of them are sports related. So at least there's that. So I got, you know, 49ers and Raiders and, you know, the Golden State Warriors calendars. Yeah.
It's funny. So that was my intro into real estate. As far as a job goes, was actually in the direct mail business. And so I have some pretty strong opinions about direct mail and calendars and postcards. And yes, they do work for the right person. And it's one of those funnels that you were talking about before. But there's no feedback, right? It's an empty void that you kind of send that stuff into, and you don't know if it works or if you're getting results. And so you just sort of, you get a phone call from one person and then you have an example. Okay, this worked, because I got one phone call, one lead.
Yeah.
So maybe that is worth it. But yeah, I have strong feelings about the calendars. And I don't even like putting stuff on my refrigerator if they're magnetic.
Yeah. Well, now given that, so in real estate, one of the first things that you need to do is, let's say you're brand new starting out, or you just moved to a new area, you're an existing agent, but you just moved to a new area or what have you. But no matter what, you got to have leads. So I'm going to say getting people into your database. And that's what a lot of agents will call it, whether they're using a CRM of, you know, whatever. But getting people in, and that's why I get people knocking on my door. That's why, you know, you go to a website and it makes me register, you know, for their home search or what have you. They're all trying to get me into their system. So getting leads is the first part, correct? Is that, wouldn't you say?
I would challenge that, actually, Mike. I would politely challenge it. I would say that, unfortunately, the first thing is that most agents don't have a database and most agents don't have a system. And
mm-hmm.
that's based on my own conversations and working with agents. They would like to have a database. They'd like to have a system, but they're not really sure what system or database to use. A lot of people, and I would even say most, so 50% of agents just have their email system, and that's their system and their database, right? It's nothing more than that. Is that something that you've run into also?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But at least that's something. That's, they've got people in their system, whatever that system is.
Right, so even if it's just an email address that they're collecting. So, yeah, from that standpoint, I agree, yeah.
And then typically what would be, and what we're doing is I'm going through different ideas as far as what an agent typically goes through. And then they're going to market for that or market to that segment that they have. You know, and they're going
yeah.
to, when they're starting to get organized, they're going to, okay, how do I get out and reach these people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it depends on whatever system or database they have. They may have entirely different information in that database. So, you know, 10 seconds, not to get too nerdy, but obviously if you don't have physical addresses, you're not going to send them postcards, right? If
right.
you don't have email addresses, you can't send, you can't do Facebook marketing without email addresses. Well, you can, I guess, but not as targeted. Or you can't do direct, you know, email marketing tools. So yeah, absolutely. The structure and type of information that you have dictates what you can do with it.
Yeah. And then as far as that goes, theoretically, we get some, whatever the medium is, we get something that goes out that reaches to whatever database. You know, you talk about addresses. You know, you can pull, at least here, you can pull a list from your local title company of single family, you know, homeowners in the area and things like that, and then set up a mailing. And that's, I get tons of those as far as that goes. But that you talked a little bit about what happens when they get a response, or how do they get the response back? And there is no tracking on mailers, but what about electronical type of stuff? How do they track? You know, I think in terms of newsletters and things like that, open rates, click-through rates, that kind of stuff. But
yeah, I mean, that's what intrigues me a lot. And I think I've seen a lot of agents, brokers, and brands kind of pivoting in this direction. Is maybe they have tracking on their emails. Maybe they have tracking on their website. Maybe they have landing pages that the direct mail drives them to. All these things that you guys are really experts on. But what I don't see a lot of is taking all of those inputs and putting them in one spot. And kind of triangulating that information so that you've got an overall story. You were talking earlier about the tool that allows you to see, you know, the whole social profile of an individual, and that isn't combined with this information either. And so that's where we said, there's an opportunity here to take all this information, so the social profiles, whether or not they're opening emails, what they're viewing on your website. Are they looking at properties? How often? What addresses are they looking at? What neighborhoods? Take all of that information, wrap it into one spot, add additional information on top of it to show sort of a general level of interest. And that's where we start to get super technical and nerdy, and I'll try not to get too nerdy on you guys, but let me know what you'd like.
No, we want that. We definitely want that. So what are you looking for? And I want to speak specifically to your product. What are you looking for in that? Because essentially, because you gave me a peek on the inside as far as that goes, maybe a couple of months ago now, of what you guys are working for. So I'm sure it's gotten bigger, better, and changed. But essentially, here's my database, or here's, you know, what I gave you as far as my database. And you are going to be able to show me who's apt to be the next person to move, or who I should start watching. And I thought that was incredible, because that kind of disrupts the sales cycle, really.
I believe it does. I think it's a different way of approaching the sales cycle, and something that we need to kind of redefine. But anyone can kind of do this on their own. You just need to take all that tracking information and compare it to your database, and then you see who is interested in viewing your content. As long as you're marketing to them, you'll be able to have some good feedback and results, and you can do that with Google Analytics or any other tool that you've got. I think what separates us apart is that we're taking additional layers of data and applying it to all the contacts in your email, or all the contacts in the agent's database, and we're using government data. We're using credit card purchase history data, and we're using social data and applying that in there. And that's not something that an individual agent can go out and acquire, of course. That's something that we've been able to acquire and apply here. So basically, we're trying to take an average agent has 2,000 contacts in their email contact database. And of those, there's a lot of those people that are going to move every year, and you're missing out on most of those people moving, unfortunately. Most agents are. And so if we can score all those prospects every month and tell you daily who's most likely to move each day, then rather than randomly calling 5 people a day or 10 people a day from your database and reaching out to them, why not call the 5 or 3 people a day that are most likely to move and set up a time to have coffee with them? So to your point, and I think the way that this ties into the show from last week, guys, is that the traditional sales cycle is disrupted. We now are qualifying the leads to some extent before we reach out to them.
Right. You know, and that's what every single agent hopes is when they knock on that door and the person answers and the guy says, you know, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. I got an open house down the street. You know, they're doing the door knocking thing. And mm-hmm. because I get a lot of that in my neighborhood and they're doing the door knocking thing or the phone call, the, you know, calling people in your database, what they hope to hear that homeowner say is, hey, this is so weird. I'm so glad that you just popped by. We were just thinking of selling in the spring or, you know, whatever. They hope to, that all of a sudden you hear all the bells go off, ding, 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 ding. And that's exactly what they want. And what you're saying is there's ways to detect that and tell an agent in their database, you know, here's who you should be paying attention to.
There's a phrase that I don't take credit for, and I don't know who to give the credit for, but I love it. It's the D's. Are you guys familiar with the D's in real estate?
I am, but you should, for everybody okay. else who is not.
Yeah, so the D's are, as far as I know them to be, death, disease, divorce, and diapers. So these are the things that with a high degree of probability indicate a likelihood of a move. And mm-hmm. some of the best real estate agents I know, top teams, top agents nationwide, use the D's and are always looking for the D's. And if they can find one of those D's, that's who they want to reach out for, or reach out to. And so mm-hmm. if you're door knocking in your scenario, if you're knocking on doors, and you could only knock on the ones that had a D-related issue, your probability of a close and your length of the sales cycle is going
right.
to be much reduced.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have to share a quick story. Way back, Ari Barcamp was just getting started out, and I want to say it was probably the first one in Phoenix. I think it was the first Ari Barcamp Phoenix. I flew out there, and this is maybe where I first heard this. And I think it was Bill Risser, who was one of the organizers. And we were actually, it was in a baseball field, and we were in the dugout, or actually the locker room, for this one session.
Oh yeah, this
was Facebook
marketing. This is the Giants. This was Jay's Barcamps in the Giants spring training
yes,
facility, right?
In Scottsdale. Yeah, and the Giants play the spring training there. And we were actually in the locker room, and he was doing a Facebook session, and he was talking about, and this is something that I do and I've done, you make lists within, for instance, like in Facebook. So all of your past clients, all the people who are best or most apt to refer people to you, that's the most important people in your life. And you should make that list, and that's who you should be on top of and watching for. And I believe, if I remember right, he mentioned the four D's.
That's awesome. Because I only heard about this maybe a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the D's.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill was on top of it. I don't know if that's the first one that I was at in Phoenix or if I went to the second one in Phoenix, but I was not in that dugout session. That would have been eye opening. I would have liked to have been there. Those bar
yeah.
camps were really something else, man.
Absolutely.
I got a question, Chris. Going back to the traditional sales cycle, and I'm talking about the same thing we've been teaching and learning for 100 years, the 7-step sales cycle, which is prospect for leads, make the connection, qualify the prospect, make your pitch, overcome objections, close the sale, and ask for referrals. Mm-hmm. You're talking about disrupting that completely. Now, obviously, we don't want our listeners to throw that away because it's still a really good foundation. But help us in those 7 standard cycle elements. How does reevaluate we'll call it augment that because they're still there to a degree. Can you just kind of speak to a second because that sales cycle takes a different amount of time for everyone. So we won't talk about timing, but just each of those steps, prospecting, connecting, qualifying, presenting objections, mm-hmm. closing and referrals. Where do you come in, and how do you engage with that?
Sure, Ken. And you're right. I don't advocate ditching the seven-step process that's worked since we were cave dwellers. But what we have seen is, hey, we can add some efficiencies in here by tweaking this a little bit for this component of the business. So I still advocate going out and prospecting all the time. Whatever method is working for you, continue doing that, because you're adding names to the database all the time. That's one of your most important activities. But what I would suggest that we can help with is taking number three, which is qualifying the prospect in most of these sales cycles, and putting it in front of prospecting. Mm-hmm. Now you still have to qualify them again later, probably, and you know, whatever your process is. But if you can take step three, qualifying the prospect, and do that first before you pick up the phone and call someone, or before you send them a handwritten note, that can have a tremendously large impact on your ROI, specifically of the time spent prospecting. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you have right now what is a great close ratio from prospecting on the phone, from cold calling? I don't even know what a great percentage would be.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to some of the agents that I talk to, it'd be 1 in 500 as far as
that's a lot of work, man. that's a lot of work. Go ahead.
No, let you finish.
Yeah, so the idea is let's try to make that initial appointment sitting down for coffee with somebody,
mm-hmm.
or a beer, or sushi, or whatever. But
yay.
Sushi Con shout out there. I would like to see agents being more effective with their time and helping people move more efficiently. And I think that starts with calling people that are more likely to move than people that are not likely to move. It's a pretty basic concept, but it takes a whole lot of technical wizardry, data science, and resources to make this happen.
So let's be clear here that you're not a quote-unquote lead generation site where people come and say, I want to buy a home in such and such a property, and then you turn around and sell mm-hmm. that lead for $500. which I've seen those prices. This is a way to use common intelligence, and I don't mean intellect, I mean information intelligence, that's a little more difficult to come by, and you're accumulating that and preparing that for your users to analyze specific persons, correct?
Because we noticed that people didn't have databases, we built a little tool to create a database for agents. So mm-hmm. they have this huge network of people in their email, their Gmail, their Outlook 365, what have you, but it's not organized. And so we built a tool that basically parses, sorts, dedupes, and organizes their contacts in about 10 seconds. And create
wow.
CSVs that the agent can then use to send to any product, your BombBomb, your Happy Grasshopper, your Altos Research. They all require CSVs to input into their marketing systems.
Right.
But no one had a tool to create a CSV until we created it. And it's a free tool, so anyone can use it. We're not, you know, trying to keep people from doing this. And we solved a problem for people, and we want people to use it. So that free tool takes and pulls out all of the vendors that they work with and puts them in one bucket. It pulls out all of the real estate agents that they work with and puts them in another bucket. All the spam goes in a third bucket. And what's left is a nice CSV of all your prospects. And that, of course, goes into Revaluate if they become a customer, or it can go into any other tool that you guys might recommend or suggest.
Awesome. Awesome. We're completely out of time, but Chris Dreher of Revaluate, get over there to Revaluate.com. They're on Facebook, and check them out. And thanks, Chris, for taking the time of being with us today.
Thanks so much. They can actually go to reevaluate.com/gold about that free tool.
Awesome.
Awesome.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to yet another edition of Social Media Edge Radio with your host, Ken Cook, and co-host Mike Mueller. Stay on top of what's happening by visiting socialmediaedge.com.